welcome to the Jumping Puddles podcast. Be sure to listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and or YouTube. And follow us at Jumping Puddles Podcast on Tumblr and Instagram, and Jumping Pud Pod on Twitter. Hi, I'm Sam, and with me are my fellow co-hosts, Tor and Ash.
Hey!
Hi!
And here we are for our very first podcast episode outside of the Stargate franchise.
Ooh.
And today we're doing House of the Dragon.
We do that today.
I know. Yeah.
I feel like it's quite accurate.
But yes, the Jumping Puddles podcast is here today to talk House of the Dragon. And you might be thinking, if you know us, what the fuck, guys? This is so random. Don't you guys talk about a show from 2004? A super silly sci-fi vampire aliens? Well, the answer is yes. And you should totally check out Stargate Atlantis and listen to our podcast. But besides that, we are also big just sci-fi and fantasy nerds in general. And so when House of the Dragon came out, none of us watched it. And then after it ended, I watched it and I dragged Tor and Ash into this hyperfixation with me really quick. And we watched it and we have so many thoughts. So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. So just little disclaimers. We'll go around and introduce ourselves for those of us who don't know, because again, this is our first time recording anything outside of the Stargate franchise. And we'll give you a little info on us and like what our teams are and stuff. So this is going to be fun.
So if passions run high, you know why.
Yeah. If we start getting into it, I hope you bear with us and just turn down your volume. I am Sam, as I said before. I have seen Game of Thrones. I liked it for what it was. I was massively disappointed with season 8, as were we all. And after that, I vowed never again to watch anything Game of Thrones related. And then House of the Dragon came out, and I did not watch it. I was like, fuck this show. And then episode 10 came along, and I saw that cute little Lucerys was eaten alive by Aemond. And I thought, killed his what? His nephew. And I said, all right, shit, I'm going in. And I watched the show. I have not read any of the books. And for everyone's reference, I am team blue. So I'm team family. I'm team Viserys is burning in hell. but I also tend to be more team green. I have more leanings, I think, towards Team Green. And my favorite character is Aemond. Next up.
So, hi, I'm Tor. I am a Game of Thrones noob. I've never seen Game of Thrones ever. I heard people really liked it. I just never watched it. The thing with how we watch TV at my house is typically you watch it together. And I heard that it was quite not a show that you would watch with your parents and your sister. So I just kind of let it run and I didn't watch it. And then I heard about its ending and I was like, okay, now I'm really not going to watch it. And then I heard that this prequel show was coming out, House of the Dragon. And I was like, cool for people who like Game of Thrones, I guess. And I wasn't going to watch it until Sam brought it to our attention here at Jumping Puddles. And I was like, okay, interesting. She sent us a couple of fan cams and I was like, interesting, very interesting. And so we started watching it all together. And yeah, it was a experience. I must say, it's one of those shows where it's like, almost reality TV, like you want a group of people to watch it with you so you can commentate. And so, yeah, it was a great experience. Yeah, but I go in knowing nothing about Game of Thrones. My dad started watching it recently and he finished it in like a week and gave me like season summaries, at the end of every season. And that's about it. What else to say? I've never read the books. I was tempted. I will admit, I was tempted when the show was running to read them, because people at the time were posting like little snippets on Tumblr, and I was like, like the writing seems pretty decent. It's interesting fantasy, but I have a hard time committing to fantasy books if they're really long series. And so I never pursued it at that time. Maybe in the future, I don't know. Is it still being written? Yeah, it's still being written. So, maybe if it ever finishes, I'll think about it more seriously. I hate conflict, so this is really hard to choose a side in this, because I feel like everyone does shitty things, but also is sympathetic in this so far anyway. And so I want to say I'm kind of straddling the fence like Sam between both camps. However, I think like Sam, I also have more sympathy for the Greens just because of certain characters and scenes, which I think we will probably be getting into later on. And shockingly, I think my favorite character is Allison. Yeah. Yep.
Miss repressed cat lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Take it away, Ash.
Hi, I'm Ash, and I have read the books of Game of Thrones, though not very consistently. So I read all of them. I'm from Germany, as you can hear. And in Germany, I started reading the books when I was still reading most of my things in German. So I read the translations, and in German, the books came out like each book was divided into two books. So it's actually 10 books in German. And I just read the last one, I think in 2021 or 22, so not that long ago, but I wanted it to be finished, basically. So yeah, I started reading the books, and then at some point I also started watching the show, and I think I enjoyed it. I think I watched season 7 and 8 as they aired, and was also massively disappointed in season 8. Obviously.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I kind of forgot about the I didn't forget about the show, but I wasn't hugely invested in it, I think, but I enjoyed it, basically. I think I enjoyed the show a bit more than the books, to be honest, because, like, when I was reading the last book not too long ago, I was like, okay, this is actually quite sexist, and the show is sexist as well, but yeah, this is not as fun as I remember. But nonetheless, I started rewatching the show when I moved out from my parents, and I started watching it with my roommate, and we just started season 6, and I'm not sure if we're gonna finish it, but or if we just stop after season 6, we'll see. Yeah, so that's my history with Game of Thrones. And then House of the Dragon came out, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to watch it. And like at the time, there was like this huge hype around both House of the Dragon and the Lord of the Rings show. And I was like, I'm not really interested in either of them. And then Sam fell into this obsession, and she told me they are lesbians. I was like, oh, okay, well then. And
exactly,
yeah, then
how
just
to bribe you guys. Emo boy tour. And then I had to send the gay people to Ash, and I was like, here's how it's gonna go. And they were like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. And then so we watched it together, and it's a bit sad, I think, but I didn't really get into it until the last episode. And then with the last episode, I was like, great, now I'm invested. And the season is done. And the way it is. Sad. Yes. Teams. So I think I should say that I have a very bad memory. And I think I had later I have to drop like the little description of with that Sam sent us with like all the names and all the like relations and because I don't remember shit. And also I haven't engaged with the fandom at all. Like I have one mutual on Tumblr who sometimes reblogs Alicent GIFs, and that's all the content I get basically. So yeah, but about teams, I think kinda like you guys, I'm like everyone did bad things and everyone is, I think that's actually a good thing about the show, that they showed like the motivation between the behind the actions of all the people, so I think that makes characters interesting. But I'm also think I'm leaning, no, I don't know if I can pick a team. But my favorite character is also Alicent. So I'm probably leaning more towards Alicent. And also honestly I do like Rhaenyra, but the young one. And yeah. I don't know if we're already diving now into the rest of it, but I had a hard time with some of the recasts and just like making my brain understand that those people, like the recasts, were the same people as before, and it just sometimes didn't really click. And yeah, so I don't know if I'm making sense here, but Alicent is just, thought she was great, and young Rhaenyra, women.
True.
No, I agree. I mean, we can just jump right into that whole debate too if you guys want. I will say, though, obviously, even though I guess a lot of us are more, you know, Alicent Sands and Team Green, just hear us out. I know Team Black is probably clicking off already, but if you just want to hang out, just listen to us. I think, you know, we have reasons. We'll dive into it and just kind of give our reasoning. And who knows, maybe someone will like Alicent after this, hoping, praying.
That's the goal.
She needs warriors. So just hear us out. Just hear us out is all I'm saying. I guess we're just going to dive straight into it, huh, with the older era.
Do we have to?
Well, I think it's actually kind of a good place because this is so funny because I was, you know, before the podcast, we were talking about like, how do we structure it? Do we just jump into everything? And we were like, well, the likes and dislikes will mix in together. And it's funny that I think we're going to start with like a dislike. We're already starting like, all right, this is the shit I didn't like about it.
Because I remember that you have like a rant saved about her. So I'm very curious about that, to be honest. Like that was the whole time when we were like, planning like this recording, I was like, I want to hear what Sam has to say.
Oh yeah, we're starting off hard. Yeah, I think, well, obviously we have plenty to like about the show, but I think there's plenty also to dislike. I think they kind of mix in together. So I guess we can start here. I think most of us can agree, I don't know about like the general fandom perception actually, but I think most of us can agree that like at least the first 5 episodes, okay paced. Right? Because, I mean, we're watching it. I had to, like, keep telling, like, even me, too. I was like, how many years has passed? Like, sometimes it was just, like, a little name drop, and I had to be like, okay, wait. Like, they kind of run through things, but I think it's still, you still follow it. You're like, okay, I'm still good. I think past, like, episode 6 to 10, I think is bad. I think they messed up the timing and the timeline, and they went too fast. They did too much too quick. Yeah. And I think you can see, at least for me anyways, I think you can see a very big difference with like a lot of the writing is a lot like less good, I guess you could say. Or I just have more issues. I have more issues with the show post episode like, or episode like 6 and on. And I think one of the biggest criticisms I have of the show is Rhaenyra going past episode 5. Oh my god, this is so funny. Talking about this is like, oh shit. We're just ripping off the bandage. Okay. Post episode 5, right, we see 10 years has passed with Rhaenyra and Alicent, and I think I understand what the show is going for. And I get the whole she has kids. she's a mother now. She's mellowed out. But I think they did that way too much. And I think she's just too passive. Both of the female characters, the leads, Alice and Rhaenyra, are too passive. I think you can understand why they're passive-ish in episodes 1 through 5, because, again, they are women, and this is fictional Westeros. You know, they are young women who have very little power. They're getting manipulated left and right. They're being groomed. They're being used by their uncles for their own purposes. So, again, totally get, I think it makes sense why episodes 1 through 5, they're passive characters. Episode 6 to 10, I think there's zero excuse. I don't like the insinuation that because she had all these kids, she's, like, a completely, like, different person now. I mean, I get it. Again, you have kids, you're different, you're a mother. I totally get that. But I think they just did it too much, that I think a lot of these scenes just felt very out of character for her. And I think the biggest one is Daemon choking her in the finale. Yeah, you're not going to tell me that it would choke her and then she'd just be like, well, anyways. Like, she laughed at him, right? Because she was like, you really didn't know. Haha, fucking loser. And then they move on. So I really had a big issue with that. And before, like, I'm not a Daemon, I'm not even coming from, like, a Daemon perspective. Like, I'm not a Daemon stan or anything. Actually, I think we're all pretty big Daemon antis. We don't like him at all. Like, he's a funny character, but, like, none of us are, like, we're not in love with him, if you're curious. I just hated that moment for what they did to Rhaenyra. And again, if I'm wrong, please correct me. But I heard that in the books, Rhaenyra is the one who's like, I'm going to go kill them all. And Daemon's the one holding her back. And when I heard that, I was like, try not to start that. I hate the writer so early on. But oh my god, what the fuck are you guys doing?
They changed that. That's like a quite crucial thing to, like, both characters to just switch it up.
Stupid. I just think it's honestly just the writers and, like, the women are reluctant to go to war. Like, they're trying to stop, like, the men. And it's, like, just such bullshit. Because I think you could have still had Rhaenyra be like, I'm going to go get my throne. And Daemon being like, no, calm down. You got to think clearly. And she'd be like, okay, yeah, I still care about people in that place. Like, it's fine, you're right. But I just think we're going to see a lot of that. The big changes that they made impact a lot of the small things. And I think it warped some of these personalities, some of these characters.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of ties into what Ash was saying, where it was hard for her to reconcile Rhaenyra as an older woman versus Rhaenyra's younger self, because not just because the actress has changed, but also because she's almost unrecognizable to who she was previously. I agree with you that they could have just had Rhaenyra have a temper still. And again, instead of it being Daemon, be her kind of blowing up. And him advising her on, you know, prudence and, like, thinking before we storm the castle and all this. Like, I feel like it would still be in line with his character to not have that explosion. And for her to have that passion and then reel it back in. Like, I feel like she was a very passionate young woman. And so to see that completely gone, at least right now where we are in the show, I just don't get it. I don't know what it like, it doesn't serve her character, in my opinion. Like, we're trying to, I feel like the show was trying to set her up as this paragon of strength, like a strong woman. Like, through when she was a young woman, her wanting to rule, and her having this sort of sexual liberty. And then there was all this sexual liberty happening, and look how strong she is, she's doing whatever she wants, but then no like character follow through when she was older, to show her continuing strength, in that way. Like, her just taking Daemon, like, choking her, I don't know if I buy that, like, with the younger Rhaenyra. Like, even if he did it in passion and she knew that, and he, like, she would still not take it. Like, so, yeah, I think I would be able to reconcile it a little bit more if I felt like they weren't trying to prop her up as the sort of symbol of, like, female strength, and then show her doing this, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it really does. I think that's a big criticism against the show, because I feel like they tried to kind of be like, oh, look, like, now we have female characters as the main characters. And they're like, look, and they're girl bosses, too. They were going back on their word, and I feel like it was just kind of like a marketing thing for them to be like, especially because Game of Thrones obviously got so much shit, and rightfully so much shit, where it's like, okay, they treated women, like, horribly, especially early seasons, right? And so I feel like they were trying to be like, look, we've changed. But it wasn't reflected in the writing all the way. It was just them trying to get the woke points.
I keep thinking of that clip that went around the internet for a while, where it's like the actors of Alicent and Rhaenyra are being interviewed separately and are asked what's a thing that annoys them about the show, and they both say, like, almost in sync, like, too many men. It's like, yes, we have these two women who are main characters, and then things happen, and they are still main characters, but they are maybe not what maybe your feminist audience was hoping for. I have a question, because it's possible that he told us already, but maybe I forgot. What's the thing that they changed from the book that's about the relationship between Alicent and Rhaenyra?
Yeah, the books is like a stepmother daughter thing. So Alicent's like way older than Rhaenyra. Like, I think she's like 18 when she marries Viserys, and I think Rhaenyra's like 9.
Okay.
Because obviously, like, Alicent in the books is like just straight up like a mustache twirling villain. Like, she slut shames her all the time. Everyone slut shames Rhaenyra in the books. Like, Aegon and Aemon do all the time because they're like, this bitch is a whore.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's the big thing, is that in the books is that it's more like Aemon is just straight up like a fucking psychopath. You know, like, he just straight up killed Luke on Vhagar. Like, it wasn't an accident. Aegon is just Aegon. You know. Yeah, so they're one dimensional. And that's another thing. I don't want to get into it right now because it's going to lead somewhere else. But I do think it was a good change to make them sympathetic. And I don't get when people who've read the books complain. The writers are Team Green. They just made them real characters. Like, they just made them interesting.
It's called nuance. Spice of life. Nuance.
Have you heard of it? I guess back to Rhaenyra, right? Even besides, like, her passive personality, post episode 5, obviously Rhaenyra and Alicent are like, have taken a lot of their personalities from their fathers, right? It's basically like a big father-daughter thing, right? So we see Alicent's quite, like, you know, harsh occasionally with her kids, right? She's doing it out of love, which I think Otto is maybe to an extent. You know, she's also, like, super, like, proper and strict, and, you know, she really emulates the Seven, especially when she slices Rhaenyra. I think that's when she really just goes full, like, Catholic. Sorry. And she just fully, like, embraces it, and she's like, okay, I have to feel better that I just cut my lover. And so, right? And I think she feels that big guilt. Anyways, though, Rhaenyra, however, you cannot let Rhaenyra slide here. She got a lot of Viserys's, like, for lack of a better word, just, like, bad decision-making. Like, Viserys also, like, neglected her. Right? He didn't give a shit about her until he killed his wife, and then he was like, oh shit, I've ignored you for 14 years. He's like, my bad. And then he just put all of his affection on her and ignored his four other kids. Mm-hmm. Her, like, entitlement and just lack of decision-making as older Rhaenyra was just insane to me. And that's something I constantly, like, can't rationalize, just how delusional she seemed to be. Because I totally get it, right? If she was a male, she would not have to do jack shit to get the throne, like Aegon. She would not have to do anything. She could just be like Aegon. She could literally fuck around and have 20 kids and throw them in child fighting rings and be totally chill. Like, she really wouldn't have to do shit. This is Westeros. And for me, my problem is that, like, it's almost like she's thinking like she's not from Westeros. If you know, right? If you know that like there's never been a woman on the throne, you know, your cousin or like almost had it, or Rhaenys almost had it, and they literally like, voted against her. Wouldn't you be like, okay, I gotta play the game. I gotta secure my position. She doesn't do shit. Instead, she actively works against herself by having three bastards. I don't blame Rhaenyra for cheating the system. I blame her for not being smart about cheating the system. What was her plan? Her plan was to just gaslight everyone into thinking these were her kids. Or, like, these were, like, her and Laenor's kids. And, like, first of all, that shit wasn't working. Right? Okay, so that, and then she names one of her bastards her heir. I can't rationalize that, right? And again, I totally get it. Like, I love Jace. He'd be a great king. You have to, like, make moves. If you're gonna make Jace, like, your heir, and maybe I'm thinking too much ahead, but, like, I don't know. But, like, wouldn't you also, like, want to be friends or, like, make peace then with, like, Aemon and Aegon, like, your brothers? So, like, when you die, if war doesn't happen when you die, war will happen when Jace takes the throne. But wouldn't you want the people with dragons to, like, be on your side and, like your son? Yeah, that's my thing, is I just think a lot of the choices she makes just frustrate me to no end. And again, it's like, maybe I'm being crazy, maybe I'm thinking way too hard into this, right? But it's also just like, and obviously I know, before anyone comes at me, I know this is all like predestined, whatever. This civil war was always gonna happen because there's just too many kids, too many dragons, and the line of succession is just all over the goddamn place, right? It would have happened eventually, but I'm just saying, yeah, anyways, someone else talk.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in on that point, and I wanted to just pose, like, a question for us all in terms of Rhaenyra. Do you think, I just blame Viserys for everything, I guess, but I feel like maybe in a way, in, like, a kind of fucked up way, like, he spoiled her. So, like, she was always very, like you were saying, I think he was guilty about, you know, his wife. And the way he treated her in the like Rhaenyra in the past, and so he had her on this pedestal, right? Like he could never look at Rhaenyra objectively. Of course, that's your daughter, and be like,
yeah,
okay, like your behavior is like self-destructive and whatever, or oh, like you're not doing things that you're supposed to be doing, or like he could never bring himself to actually censure her in anything. And so I feel like, as much as he was saying, yeah, I'm going to put you on the throne, like, yeah, I want you to be my heir, yeah, like, he was not doing anything to make the rest of his people believe it and want that, and the odds were already stacked against them because she was a woman. So I feel like the way he treated her lulled her into a sense of, like, complacency where she thought everything was going to be handed to her, I guess, because he said it was going to happen, and he did dote on her, and so as long as he was around, like, he would make it so, not realizing that her father would die eventually and, like, leave her to fend for herself. So I just, yeah, so do you think, like, do you blame Viserys for that? Like, I do, partially.
100%.
How did this dude keep on living?
I know, and I don't blame her for thinking he was never gonna die, because he held on. He was really holding on at the end.
Yeah.
I'm just remembering every episode. In the beginning, they'd be like, he's still alive!
He was a literal skeleton.
Yeah.
But he was still alive.
Yeah. Also, because, like, I keep remembering things. Which is good, but also I forgot so much. And I forgot earlier that Rhaenys is actually, I really liked her.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's, like, every time she was there, I was like, oh my god, it's Rhaenys! And maybe I should mention her as, like, also one of my favorite characters. Okay, women.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, that's the thing, they are all very, like, ambiguous. There's no black and white.
Yeah. Or
green and black. so it's like I feel like if you say someone is your favorite character, that doesn't mean that you like all their actions. I think that's very important in this case, especially in this show.
Yeah, I feel like when I say Allison is my favorite, I'm not saying she's never done anything wrong, that's for sure.
No, oh my gosh, she fucked up. Like, yeah. The way she sometimes treats her children is just horrible.
Yeah.
But I feel just bad for her.
Exactly.
A lot Sympathize. Of the time, and I really suffer for her and with her, like, just the way she was treated or used.
Exactly.
And I just, the scene where she shows up to this big dinner or feast or whatever, like, wearing green.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
With Young, that's just, like, that's
power
burned into my head, which is why, yeah.
But it's, like, so elegant, too, right? Because it's not, like, yeah. Like she murdered someone.
Yeah, know? No, absolutely not. So, I wanted to go back just real quick to what Sam said earlier about, like, oh, it was predestined, and it was, I don't know, the prophecy or whatever. That is not an argument, I feel like, from fans to say, oh, this war was bound to happen, so this is why they acted that way. I don't think that's a valid argument, just because it's, like, in a story, it's predestined. Like, there's still, you can still make characters, not reasonable, but... Yeah, I can't really express what I mean right now, but, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I totally get it. And I just said it honestly because I've seen people on Twitter, like, use that argument to be like, it was all predestined anyways. And it's like, and you make me feel stupid about, like, asking, like, these deeper questions and, like, thinking ahead, like, okay, but if Aegon and Jace were, you know, were besties, then, like, we'd be, you know, but, like... Yeah. I think that's a stupid argument as well, because it's just like, okay, so
if we already know, okay, what's gonna, like, happen, like, why do we care about watching the story? Clearly,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Exactly. Clearly, there are forces at work, like, trying to stop this from happening, at the same time as it's barreling to its inevitable conclusion. So, like. There's reason to want to think about this more deeply, and, you know.
And, like, I want to be clear, right? I get, the show's, this show's pick your favorite war criminal. Like, I don't think it's meant to be, like, analyzing which one is good and which one is bad. I think the problem is that, like, they did that with the Greens, but they didn't do that with the Blacks. I think you have to consider, like, outside influences as well, which is Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, the only Targaryen that we followed for, you know, 5-6 seasons was, like, one of the best ones, the one who wanted to break the wheel, is her famous line. She wants to change everything. Rhaenyra is not that woman. Rhaenyra is complacent in the wheel because she thinks she doesn't want to break it. She's fine with it because she's the exception. So I think what they didn't realize is how people were going to so strongly defend any Targaryen because they're like, Dany. It's like, no. And I think that's a big reason why people, especially, like, normal fans, if you ask any normal fan, they're all Team Black. Everyone is Team Black, basically. I feel like anyone who's, like, Team Green is, like, people who are, like, chronically online, like, Team, like on Twitter. I don't think the writers kind of realize their mistake. And I think having her kill Laenor would have been the perfect... or order Laenor's death would have been the perfect thing to be like, okay, look, they're both fucking evil. Like, no one's good in this world. But I think on one hand, I'm like, yay, gay people. Good for Laenor. He got to escape.
Exactly.
He's just chilling while his entire family's out here getting slaughtered. So whatever. But, like, but I also just wish that Daemon had killed him and like, Rhaenyra had ordered it, because it just would have made them on even playing fields. I just feel like it's just so skewed.
Right, and the scale is made even worse, like you said, from, like, prehistory, like, Game of Thrones. Yeah. Yeah, and that sucks, because I feel like it's so much more enjoyable if it's a complicated viewing experience. Like, if you are having conflicting feelings, I feel like it's so much more of an experience to watch the show, right? Yeah. And I think it's so sad because I feel like not to talk about my favorite, but I feel like Alicent is so interesting. And maybe she's not a perfect person, but I feel like her struggles are so easy to sympathize with. I don't know if that's, like, me as a woman and, like, a Catholic guilt person, but, like, projecting my feelings onto her, but I just feel like there is so much of not only, like, the woman experience, but of a human experience to feel sympathy for Alicent for. And I'm kind of shocked to hear that people don't feel bad for her, or, like, even, not even have to like her, just, like, feel sorry for her. Even pity I would take, you know? But, yeah, that's just so, it's so weird to me.
I think the weirdest thing, especially, like, episodes 1 and 2, if you hate Alicent from, like, episodes 1 and 2, are you insane? Like, I think you genuinely hate women. Because I don't get how anyone can, like, I've seen people, like, Alicent should have told Rhaenyra she was fake for that. And it's like, I don't think you understand. The king told her not to. Like, she's not gonna go against the king. And, like, she genuinely looks uncomfortable every time he's, like, but, like, she's obviously, like, not feeling good about it. She's not happy to be there with him. She's just giving him the bare minimum comfort, and he's taking it as romantic. It's just crazy to me that it started out from, like, episodes 1 and 2.
I feel like that's so wrong. Like, in my eyes, I just feel nothing but sympathy and sorry for Alicent. I feel like, in the beginning, at least, like, before all the war crimes started happening, in episodes 1 and 2, I feel like, compare her relationship with Otto with Rhaenyra's relationship with Viserys, and then already you start having sympathy for Alicent, right? Like, here is someone who's, like, she couldn't do what Rhaenyra does or did and still have her father's favor. And her father doesn't even show that he loves her, like, baseline ever, in general, like, doing nothing. And then if she were to do things that society would deem not appropriate, it would be even worse. Then, like, her father's telling her to basically bed the king, and she's 15 years old. Like, what is she gonna do in that situation? You know, like, you're literally trapped. You're literally trapped. And of course you're going to feel jealous. Of course you're going to feel jealous of your friend who has love, who has liberty. Like, who wouldn't in that situation feel like, how unfair is my life compared to hers, where, like, she gets to do all this stuff and I can't. So, yeah, like, I feel bad for her in those first 2-3 episodes. Like, of course you're gonna act out and maybe say a mean word or two to the girl, because that's how you feel inside, of course. And that's why I sort of have even more sympathy with her for attacking Rhaenyra in that one episode in defense of her child. Because I feel like, on one hand, we have someone who was not loved, or is not loved, I should say, presently, by her father in a way, like, he would do something like that to protect her, and risk standing in society or whatever. And so she's doing that for her child. And then number two, she has been repressing her whole life these feelings of, like, being jealous, not feeling adequate, and of course she's gonna lash out at Rhaenyra at that moment. Like, why? Who wouldn't? I would. Like, it's like, Rhaenyra is, like, the symbol of everything that she didn't have or couldn't be in her life. And so, of course, like, and then, but her reaction after her attacking Rhaenyra makes me feel even more sorry for her, because she course corrects so much in the opposite direction. Like, she continues to, you know, repress and tries her best to be as good and as virtuous as possible and not let these feelings
come out.
Yeah. and affect her actions at all and be fair and all this. So, yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, how can you hate someone like that? You don't have to like them, but I don't think that she's a villain. I can't say that she's a villain, no.
I don't get why people get so up in arms that Alicent was like, an eye for an eye. Are you joking? What do you mean? An eye for an eye is so valid. And it, like, obviously, I personally don't think that Luke should have given up his eye, right? He was defending. Obviously, Aemon was in the wrong for some of that as well, mm-hmm. where he was, you know, had a rock. Who knows if he would have hit Jace. He was also being kind of rude. So it's very much like both parties at fault. So obviously, I don't think Luke should give an eye. Problem is that Luke gets off scot-free. From what we know, it's not like we get a scene of Rhaenyra being like, no lemon cakes for you. Like, no, it's like he's straight chilling. But my thing about that is it just blows my mind that people get so crazy. They're like, Alicent wanted to take a 10-year-old, like a 7-year-old's eye. And it's like, imagine what would have happened if Aemon had taken Luke's eye. You are literally lying to yourself if you don't think he would have lost an eye or a hand.
No, totally. And I feel like in that instance, Alicent's reaction was quote unquote so extreme to kind of cover for Viserys's like whatever reaction. And also, like you were saying, I feel like if it was the other way around, Viserys would totally be on the side of like, yeah, punishment for Aemon if like one of Rhaenyra's kids were hurt. So yeah, totally.
Yeah, I had a similar thought that Alicent's outburst was kind of because, or it seemed so extreme because she was kind of alone. Like, yes, she had your family around her, but they don't have this kind of bond, maybe, that Rhaenyra and the people around her have. Like, she has much less support, I guess, which, I don't know, maybe makes her reaction more, appear more extreme, but it's maybe because just because no one else on her side was behaving similar.
True. Yeah. Because Otto wasn't even fucking doing shit. Like, obviously, he's not gonna stand against Viserys. He's trying to, like, be, you know, he's trying to be hand. He's totally fine with, like, whatever happened. And it's sad, too, because when you said it like that, I'm like, damn, like, Alicent really is, like, a single mother. Even think about, like, earlier episodes, right? I think it's episode 6, when Aemon's getting bullied by the other kids, and he goes and he runs to Alicent and he's telling her, and then Alicent goes to complain to Viserys, and she's like, obviously she's kind of in the wrong, because she's blaming, like, Jace and Luke, and first of all, Luke is, like, 5. Yeah. Luke had head empty up there. Luke was not planning a prank to bully Aemon. Like, it was obviously Aegon and Jace. But Viserys is literally like, well, he's the stupid one. Like, he literally is, like, the one, he's like, well, he's dumb. He should have known that, like, they didn't have an egg for him. And it's like, you just, like, she's literally complaining about her son getting bullied, and he's like, it's his fault. Like, you literally see, like, he literally does not give a shit about these kids. Not one iota. Like, he, 100%, he does not know he has a third son. Next season, when Darren shows up, everyone's going to be like, who the fuck? And 100%, Viserys did not know.
100%. He's the worst. Oh, my God.
I don't know how people like Viserys. Like, I totally get his actor is great, and he had a lot of great, like, performances. Like, I totally feel that. And especially, I feel like early on, I feel like you could feel, like, sympathy for him. Mm-hmm. But episode, like, again, past episode 5, you deserve to be a skeleton, you motherfucker. Like, you ruined everything for everyone. Like, he fucked up those kids.
Oh,
yes. He fucked up Alicent. He fucked up everyone.
I know, and it's weird. It's such a complicated relationship that I feel like the viewer, or at least viewers like us, have with Viserys. Because I feel like relationships are very interesting, like, within his own family. Like, not with the kids, because there's none. And not with Alicent, because there really is none, beyond, like, her trying her best to, like, comfort him as he's dying and be helpful to him as he's, like, growing old. But that's about it. But, yeah, so, like, his relationship with Rhaenyra is super interesting, considering, like, even though it's shitty, how it evolved over time. And his relationship with Daemon is, like, super, super interesting. Like, I'm always into, like, familial drama Like, that kind of thing is super interesting to me, and their complicated thing was very complicated and and delicious. And part of me wished that they had more. Like, all the little subtle stuff was so good, but, like, I could have used just a little more. Like, they kept us wanting more, for sure, between those two.
The best part of them two is their relationship. Mm-hmm. Besides that one relationship, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah! And then when it's, like, a scene between them, I'm like, oh.
Totally.
Yeah. Can I slip something else in here that is... not necessarily, like, it is House of the Dragon related, but also Game of Thrones. Mm. Okay, so I think it's very funny, but not funny, haha, funny, sad, how Game of Thrones keeps finding excuses, like the Game of Thrones franchise, keeps finding excuses for women not to be on the throne. I noticed that, like, obviously nobody wants Rhaenyra on the throne because she's a woman, blah, blah, blah. But also in Game of Thrones itself, it's, like, I noticed it yesterday that, because we were watching this episode and it was about, oh shit, I forgot their names. The one, like, the on the Iron Islands, whoa. I think.
Yeah,
like,
Greyjoy,
exactly, yeah. So they have, I think they choose their king, like, almost democratically. So good, but also, there's this incident, this guy is king, and he has, I think he has a few sons, or had, maybe they are all dead, or whatever happened to them. And he also has a daughter, and... it's like, okay, when he's gonna die, she's still not gonna be queen, although she would be, like, next line of succession. But she's not ever gonna be queen because she's not gonna be chosen by, like, the king moot or whatever it's called. So Game of Thrones, like, it's because that's the way in the story, but, like, Game of Thrones just keeps finding excuses in-universe not to make women... sit on a throne, except season 8, then maybe, and with the North and everything. But, yeah. That's just something I noticed. And, yeah. The whole show, House of the Dragon, wouldn't exist if women were allowed on the throne without question.
Yeah. That makes me so... that's another reason I didn't want to get back into this franchise, because it just kind of pisses me off that... in a world with dragons, you're telling me that women sitting on a throne is where you draw the line. Okay, dragons and, like, demons and, like, giant frost giant things. But women sitting on a throne is where you draw the line. And gay people is where you draw the line.
Yeah.
It's the Middle Ages. Duh.
I was going to say, and I hate... people use that excuse all the time. It's based on, like, the War of the Roses. Or it's based on, like, British history. And it's like, okay, well, British history didn't have fucking dragons.
Okay. Definitely so, not.
Poked a hole in your stupid little argument. Perfect use of that stupid phrase.
Yeah, it's just, your arguments are bullshit. Sorry, but... it's fantasy. Yes, it can be based on, like... of course, you are inspired by certain events or shit, but I'm sure, like, I don't read a lot of fantasy anymore, and I'm sure there's a lot of fantasy out there that is not based on a patriarchal society, maybe, I guess. But it's always those, I feel like it's often those shows or franchises that blow up, kind of.
I think it's time. The one guy we haven't talked... oh, we haven't talked about many of the guys. But we should talk about Damon.
The proverbial elephant in the room.
Yeah. Now, I think most people can guess that we're not exactly the biggest Damon fans. And I think they can also guess that we're not exactly big shippers of Damon and Rhaenyra.
Yeah, this is such a, like, a horrible Christmas present to unwrap. Like, I feel like there's a bomb. There's a bomb inside it. The wrapping paper is wet. Smells like mold. Like, it's just like...
Yeah, what a description. It really is accurate.
Full disclosure. I am the type of person who likes the characters that are really awful and horrible people. Usually, I'm like, you know, like you're, I'm trying to think of a comparison. Like a Damon from,
Vampire Diaries.
The Vampire Diaries. Like, not this Damon. The other Damon. Like, Damon, yeah. Or...
Klaus.
Yeah, even Klaus.
Eric Northman from True Blood. I love a good Eric Northman.
True. Damon does not invoke those feelings in me that they do for some reason. I just don't know why. I can't explain it to you. I think it's the grooming bit. I think it is. I just think it's like everything else. No, not everything else. I was going to say, I can forgive everything else, but that. No, I don't know. I just, it's bad.
I think it's the uncle thing.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the uncle thing paired with the grooming thing that it's like.
It's like a double whammy because you get like the incest, but it's also underage. So then it's like worse. It's 10 times worse. It's really bad. It's not great. And like, even taking into account the universe that we're in, like it's Game of Thrones. And so like, it's just like, you have to take incest like you take your medicine. Like you kind of have to grimace and bear it. It's bad in this situation. I don't know why.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's because, okay, right? Like, in Game of Thrones, yeah, there's, like, incest. The really bad one that was underage is dealt with very quickly. You know, right? It's very early on. It's not, like, a lingering thing. And I think the problem with Daemon and Rhaenyra is that, like, it's not... It's a lingering thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. It gets
worse.
It gets worse. And then they get married.
You know what? I think the scene that really does it for me in the bad way, like it's horrible and awful and turns me off of this pairing and Damon as a person completely, is the like the brothel scene. Can I call it the brothel scene? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think Sam, you were the one who pointed it out for me. I was kind of watching with my eyes half closed because I was so mortified by what was happening that. Like, okay, he was, like, they were kind of whatever. they were getting there. And, like, he was turned off because she was enjoying it. And that made me throw up more than if, like, they were both just having a good time. Like, that just was the final nail in the coffin for me. I was like, oh, boy. Yikes.
Yeah. It's so strange. And I don't get... I really... Listen. I'm totally with Tor on this, right? We are not saints. I will love some evil-ass fictional people. Sometimes they're just hot. You just want to defend them. And same. I totally get it, right? I'm not here to, like, shame anyone. But I just think, I don't know how you see that scene and not just throw up. People were up in arms about the choking scene. People have made so many different rationalizations and trying to, like, explain. They're like, well, this isn't canon. Or, like, because I think Matt and Emma both said, like, oh, well, like, we had a hard time filming that. We weren't sure if it was super in character or something. But we had to at the end of the day. But I don't know. That's another debate whether or not it was in character or not. But people kind of have, like, ran with that and been like, oh, so, like, they pretend to, like, ignore it and stuff. Which is, like, whatever. That's bad, right? But again, it's like, this one's worse. The brothel scene is worse.
That's so bad.
Because she's not technically underage. I think they have made it so, like, she's, like, 18 in this.
Oh, okay.
At this point. But it's still, like, basically underage. I mean, they just did it so it wouldn't be, like, completely disgusting. but she's still very young. And this is also, like, he's in his 30s by this point, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, again, he gets turned off by her being into it. And he leaves her, a princess, half naked in a brothel and just runs away to go sleep at his ex's place. Like, I'm sorry. Like, how do you not find that disgusting? Again, ship what you want. Like, again, right? Fine, whatever. It's fictional. But it's just, I just can't get behind it, especially by that point. Like, I think it's fun. An aspect of it that I enjoy is, like, the whole, like, she's a girl boss and he's, like, the psychopath that loves her. I love that dynamic in other pairings, right? Like, Hannibal and Will. But then it's, like, they're negative sides where it's, like, you can't even, you say that trope is for them because he chokes her out. It's not like he would never hurt her but hurt everyone else. It's like he would hurt her, too.
It brings up a lot of complicated feelings, too, because I feel like he kind of mellows out a little bit in the later episodes. Like, he's definitely not, like, crazy, kill my wife, sleep with my niece guy he was in the beginning of the show. Like, with his own kids, he seems, like, decent enough. Ish, I guess. Like,
Reyna.
He's not...
Except for Reyna.
That's true.
He's good with Bela, but the second a kid doesn't have a dragon, he's like, fuck you.
That's true. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's so complicated because I feel like, okay, in his old age, he's like, fine. But then I just can't let that go. I just can't let it go.
Here's the problem. Because they call it House of the Dragon, right? And because I think they said that they want this to be an anthology show. The means is that they want to, like, do different Targaryen stories. That's why they didn't call it, because this period of time is known as, like, the Dance of the Dragons. It's this Targaryen Civil War. Dance of the Dragons. You would have called the show that if it was just going to be about that. But I think they want to do an anthology, so they just called it House of the Dragon. My problem is, apparently, like, this is, like, hella... This is not a long war. Apparently, this all happens in under 2 years. Okay, and apparently a lot of it's, like, hella quick. And so people are like, yeah, that's probably going to be 4 seasons max. And so I get really annoyed with that because I think it kind of leads back into the problem that Game of Thrones had in season 8, where I think they just rushed it. I think they rushed season 1, and I think looking back on it, I think we're all going to be like, they fumbled the bag here. I think it should have been 5 seasons. And I think, obviously, hindsight, right? I know how season 1 turned out. But here's how I would have structured it. Okay, episodes 1 through 5, fine. Keep them like that. Episode 6 should not have happened right after. I think there should have been a 5-year time jump and not a 10-year time jump. I think that's too much. I think people complain all the time because people wanted to see how Rhaenyra and Harwin got started and their relationship. People wanted to see more of Daemon and Laena. People wanted to see more of the kids. So I think episode 6 and 7 is in the 5-year time jump. That's what I'm calling it. Okay. Then the rest of the season could have been episodes 6 and 7 just lengthened out, which means... we would get, you know, not only would we get, like, the little kids, like, as babies, but we could also get the kids as toddlers and kids. We can get more scenes of them establishing, you know, all their dynamics. We can also get scenes of Rhaenyra and her half-siblings, maybe. I think it's criminal that Alicent never even mentioned Daeron. I think his whole thing could have been a very interesting plot line where we see this fourth kid with Alicent. And then, so, like, the finale would be Luke cutting out Aemon's eye, Alicent cutting Rhaenyra. That would have been the finale. And I think that would have been a great time to show Alicent sending away Daeron and being like, I'm scared for him now. If they hurt my second son, they're going to hurt my third son. And so she sends him away to Old Town. Then... episodes 1, 2, and 3 could have been episodes 8, which I know is kind of a lot, but you could have just stretched it out This is when the kids are older now. You could have had a whole episode of Rhaenyra and her kids on Dragonstone, and a whole episode of the kids on, two whole episodes of the kids on like King's Landing. You could have stretched it out. I don't give a shit. You couldn't make shit up. Show us more about Aegon and Helaena's marriage. Show them how they didn't want to get married. Like, there's just so much we missed there. That nuance, whatever. Okay. Then episode 4, have it be episode 9, which is when Viserys dies at the end of the episode. So then episode 5, the midpoint of the halfway season, is Luke dying. So then episode 6, you get into it already straight ahead where Rhaenyra is pissed and things go into motion. And you see Allison and Otto's reaction to Aemon coming back and being like, hey, I killed a kid by accident. And so I think I have a lot of, I don't think I'll ever get over the missed opportunities and like the scrunching they did of the story and how much character development and character progression and just characters were sacrificed in order to fit everything into these 5 episodes. Because you're going to need, you need that to have established. No one's going to give a shit when Rhaenyra, oh sorry, spoilers for the rest of the book for the viewers in case you haven't read the books. No one's going to give a shit when Aegon kills Rhaenyra. It's not like they have a relationship. They've never had a single conversation on the show so far.
Yeah, I feel like it's like you said, they fell into this trap of like wanting these set pieces and wanting these really like shocking scenes or these action scenes, and then they just wanted it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, they speed run it to the war, and it's like, we obviously care, right? Like, for example, like a lot of people talk about Luke's death. We were sad, right? And I get so sad about it, especially because I read fix. I'm attached to the version that we've all created of Lucerys. Watching like other people react, right, to House of the Dragon. The amount of people who were like, which kid is this? Like, and no one ever, people were calling him Jace.
Oh, no.
Didn't know his name. Normal people are having a hard time. And like, anyone would, but like, with the amount of Ash is raising up her hand. Bela and Rhaena are background kids at this point. They have said 2 words, which is terrible because, again, spoilers, they're going to survive the dance. They did the job with Allison and Rhaenyra. They didn't do it with the rest of kids.
Yeah, it's, you said it before that they were just going for like the whole war stuff and all the, like, this is medieval times, so they are not explosions, but it's like in every scene you have like a giant explosion, and they were just going for that. It's like plot, 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 plot. But is that genuinely asking, is that what people want? Because like if you've listened to our other episodes, I think you know that we are very interested in like characters and character work, and that's what sucks me in personally. And if it's only like I don't care for plot as long as the characters are interesting and are giving time to develop, and if I understand, like, not only understand why they are acting a certain way, because I see a lot of the actions in House of the Dragon and I understand where they are coming from, but also like, just give me more history, give me more to work with, more established characters, and please take your time with that. When you just described how you would have structured it, I couldn't help but think, what if they had just, like, if they had twice as many episodes per season, they could still, I know this is not how the media landscape works today, just if it had been just 15 episodes. I think you were done with like season 1 in your version after 15 episodes. It's still, that's 5 more episodes. There's so much more time, and then you can have like a hard cut and start a new one. But yeah. Even I miss these long seasons.
Yeah.
I will never shut up about it. But yeah, I totally agree with you that they absolutely rushed season 1, that they had everything happen way too fast. I was like, half the time I was watching, I was so confused. I was still figuring out the names. I don't know how many times I asked or maybe just wondered who's that, and just I was still trying to orient myself in the show, but once I've done that, they already had like a time jump, and there were new people and new children, and the children have grown up, and then there are actors who play a 16-year-old but look like 25, and it's like, what the fuck is happening? And meanwhile, while you're still trying, like for me, while you're trying to figure out the characters, there's also the whole plot happening, and just, I think that's what made it for me kind of not hard to watch, but yeah, I think because there was so much happening, I had trouble, or it had trouble holding my focus, maybe.
It makes me so sad, because I think the cast is great. I think the cast is fantastic in these roles. Even the people you hate are, like, amazing. Like,
yeah.
I want to say his name is Reese Ifan. I don't know, but the guy who plays Otto. Fantastic.
Oh my God.
I hate that man. He's so great. He's great in this role. And his duality is crazy. You know who he plays? He's in Harry Potter. He's Luna Lovegood's dad. The silly guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So do you think the next season is going to have the same number of episodes? Like, it'll be the same format? They'll do it again?
They'll do 10. I think Game of Thrones has always done 10.
Mm.
Right, I don't know if they've ever done more than 10. But didn't they do, like, maybe in the early seasons, like, 12? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but the last, I think they get less. Doesn't the last season only have 8 episodes, maybe, as well?
Yeah.
Or does it have 10?
Anyways, though, one last thing before, I don't know, I'm, we've talked about almost everyone of super importance, but I want to talk about Aegon.
Okay. You know, it's weird. My relationship with Aegon as a viewer is so, I have like no feelings for him at all. Well, not at all. I feel like he was just kind of a bumbling guy in the beginning. Like, I just felt like he didn't want responsibility, and like, yeah, I totally understand that. And then he was doing like really rancid stuff. And, like, being a horrible person. But even though he was doing those things, like, I kind of just had no thoughts on it. Like, oh, Allison's yelling at him again for being horrible. And moved on. And, like, the only time I really had any sort of feeling towards him was I kind of felt bad that he had to, like, take the throne the way he did. And then that was it. That's all I felt about him, really. How did you guys feel?
I think I feel similar. I think the only times I felt something for him or sympathized with him was when, I pity him mostly, because he's in a position where he doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be where he is, and he's just doing whatever he wants and is a horrible person. The one scene that I like next to the coronation is when he asks Allison if she loves him, and she just says like, "You imbecile," or something like that. I was like, oh. So I like, yes, he's a complete idiot. He's so stupid. But also, this poor boy has no clue of anything, and now he's supposed to be king. Yeah. And that's like a thing that about Allison, that she's definitely not like a perfect mother.
No, that's solid. I think the thing with Aegon is that I kind of wish they hadn't started him off at like already 100 on the scale of evil. And I kind of feel like they maybe did that because they were like, okay, well, we have Daemon, right, who's maybe just evil as well. So they're like, we have two evil people on two teams. But I think the problem is that like people excuse murder. And, like, I know people have a harder time, like, excusing the sort of grooming or, like, the choking. But it's nothing compared to what they made Aegon do, which I think is you don't assault women. And you don't do anything with kids. And he has kids fighting in a child pit.
Oh, I forgot about that. I just...
Yeah. Me too. I forgot about that too.
And really bad enough that he's just watching, you know, little kids fight. It's also confirmed that he has his own bastards there.
Oh.
Just fighting around. Okay. So, I hate that they did that. Because I just think... And again, I know in the books he's, like, also, like, a bad person, right? Fine. But I personally don't understand why they kind of changed things for Alicent and Aemond and didn't really care to change things about Aegon. And again, I think that's why they kind of, maybe they were like, well, we have Daemon and we have Aegon, who are, like, the two most evil people. But I just don't think what Daemon did really compares. But I think most people agree that, like, obviously, even though we're Team Green, none of us are saying Aegon should be on the throne. It's just more we like these characters more. And I don't want them to die horribly. And again, I don't want anyone to be like, you're defending his actions. I'm not defending his actions. My thing is, I'm just saying on a story perspective, I think I would have preferred it if he maybe wasn't fucking sane already. And my thing is, I had an idea that I think he should have just been so desperate for craving any sort of love and, like, respect from any of Viserys, Alicent. I think it would have been interesting if he threw Rhaenyra in there. Where he's basically just always wanted those three's, like, affection and, like, love, because he's just been ignored. And I think it would have been interesting if he was just a fucking loser the whole time. Nothing, no, like, sexual, no inappropriate sexualness, but he was just, like, a loser. And then he gets on the throne and he sees that Alicent will never give him that same affection, because even though Aemond killed Luke, she's probably still like, that's my favorite kid. And so he could see that, and then I think again with Luke's death he could be like, yeah, I'm never winning Rhaenyra's as well. And then I think it would have been interesting if he just completely lost then and there and then spiraled into the worst human being ever alive. You know, there are cartoon villains or like just straight up evil people in Game of Thrones, right? I'm not saying there can't be. But I just think for the sake of the story, since they mended Aemond, since they mended Alicent, I think they should have accommodated a little bit for Aegon.
Yeah, like, what else could he possibly do that would be worse than what he's already done? Like, not much in my eyes. Like, murder, I could forgive, compared to the other stuff that he did.
Yeah,
weirdly. Right? And so, yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah. If not made him less evil in the beginning, I feel like the least they could have done was make it more of a narrative of, like, power corrupting him. So, like, his, yeah, like the idea of him, his standing in society, which it does, I guess, in the show, and they kind of show it by, like, Alicent paying off that girl who was, like, assaulted by him. But, like, if they made more of a point to, like, say, like, oh, look at how he abuses his power. And then when he becomes king, showing him abusing that power more and then making him even more of a worse person, then I would be like, okay, there's, like, a story being told here. Like, not a lesson. But, yeah, something. Like, they're trying to say something with his character. But, like, right now, I don't know. I don't see anything.
I want to backpedal a little bit because of what I said earlier, because there's a whole lot of things that I forgot about him. I think what I said about Aegon is mainly about the last episode, where he becomes king and he is not prepared and doesn't want to.
Yeah. And I think that's why for me too is just like, I'll say it right now, I love Fix. I fucking eat Fix up where someone notices that he's really spiraling at like a young age and someone helps him. I'm gonna eat that up. I'm sorry. I am in the Aegon and everyone tag. I am in the someone helps Aegon tag. Not that I'm saying they need to make him the most, you know, sympathetic character ever, but I'm just saying, maybe they just didn't start him off on, like, the worst foot of all time.
Yeah, I guess his balance compared to other characters is, like...
way off.
Yeah. And for someone who's supposed to be playing, like, a pivotal role in, like, the Greens' future, I guess it would make more sense to make him more balanced, because then, like you were saying, it doesn't add to your feelings of, well, who should we really be thinking? Because obviously this guy is horrible, and nobody thinks he should be in power.
If you guys have any thoughts on any other characters, like, do you guys have any Jace thoughts, any Luke thoughts?
I just have dragon thoughts. But...
yeah.
No, please, go ahead.
Like, this is probably the most basic thing to say, but I fucking love the dragons. And I love how, like, yeah, it's in Game of Thrones, there are dragons, blah, blah, blah. But there are only three, and they are all born at the same time, which means that they are all the same age the whole time. And what I love about House of the Dragon is that we see dragons, like, first of all, more than three, and at, like, different ages and different stages of development, and I really, really enjoyed that, because I remember watching Game of Thrones, and you see these dragons, and in the beginning they are tiny, they are babies, and then they kind of grow up, and they get bigger, and you think, oh my god, these dragons are so cool, and then next season they are even bigger, and like, oh my god, these dragons are so cool, and it just keep getting bigger and bigger and cooler and cooler. And I had the same thing in this show. Like, I saw a dragon, I was like, oh, this dragon is so cool. And then I saw another one, which was like, I have no clue about names, by the way, don't. Like, also the dragons, like, I don't know who belongs to which kid, and, like, don't ask me. But then, just, like, seeing dragons, like, I don't know how they do it, but dragons at all ages are really cool, I feel like. Fuck, I'm so horrible with names. Which is the kid that dies in the end, which is eaten by the dragon?
Lucerys.
So, Lucerys' dragon is like, he's tiny, right?
Yeah.
He's a fucking baby, and you see him and you think, wow, that's such a cool dragon. And I really love that, and, yeah, just I really, really enjoyed every time there were dragons. I was like, oh my god, dragons. Which is kind of like, yeah, okay, it's realistic to have dragons in a show called House of the Dragon, but still, I really enjoyed seeing them and seeing all of them and like the whole range that dragons can have. And one of my favorite scenes is exactly that scene, like the chase, I guess, in the last episode. Because you have this tiny dragon, and then you have the huge, motherfucking huge one. What's her name?
Vhagar.
Vhagar. Like, holy shit.
It's a pretty good name, too.
That's just...
yeah. Vhagar versus Arrax, I think, is Luke's dragon.
Oh my god. That scene just blew my mind. When you see, like... when you see Lucerys kind of flying about, and he's like, it's so small, and then you see, like, I don't know if it's just a shadow, or... but you see, like, this huge fucking dragon, just... holy shit. And I did not see his death coming, which was... yeah. I was like, okay, something's gonna happen, but I did not see, like, it happen like that. It was fucking horrifying, but oh my god. It was that scene was amazing. That was really, really good.
And that crunch. Yeah.
Oh no! Tor!
Just up, and he's like in the sky, and he's just like looking around, and then you just see Vhagar coming out of the fucking clouds, just mouth open. I actually am really sad that they deleted the take of. So, Ewan in the show, or Aemon in the show, he just kind of like looks and he's like, right, he looks like fucking terrified. He's like, what the fuck? But I actually saw behind the scenes because they were filming, like, you know, they were filming it, they were showing it. But he did a take, and I wish they did this one, where he, like, reaches forward, and he's, like, it's almost like if he wanted to catch Luke, like, he's holding the reins, and he, like, reaches forward, and he's, like, he wanted to, and I wish they put that in.
Aww.
It would have been even sadder, because it's, like, didn't mean to. He was trying, you know, he was saying, like, no, Vhagar, listen to me, no. But Vhagar was, she was transported back to, like, a war. Mm-hmm. And she was like, girl, I'm gonna get my snack. so she ate him up.
Do we know how old Vhagar is?
Old, right?
She was ridden by Visenya, which is one of Aegon's sister wives. The original Aegon.
Oh, so then old.
So at least 200 years. She was in the original war to take over Westeros.
Do they die natural deaths, the dragons? Like, do they get, like, is there old age?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
I think. When they're just too old, I think they just don't really move, maybe. Or they just die out.
I'm like, if you keep them.
We were even robbed of seeing, like, you know, we didn't see Helaena's dragon, which is Dreamfire.
Oh,
which
is a name.
Hers is Dreamfire and Aegon's is Sunfire. And Aegon's is really cute because Aegon's is all gold. Everyone said he's, like, he's the most beautiful dragon, like, ever. And apparently him and Aegon have, like, a really, like, crazy bond, which I was sad we didn't get to see it. Because apparently him and Aegon are, like, one mind. He's a frat boy dragon. and then we have Cerax, who's Rhaenyra's. We have Caraxes, which is long neck boy, which is Dany. Yeah,
of course.
The frat little boy.
The fucking freak. and then Maelys is the Red Queen, which is Rhaenys's dragon.
Right.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah. Cool. And then there's Vermithor, I think is his name. And that's the one at the end where Daemon's, like, singing to the dragon. Remember, he tries to, like, he gets a dragon from down below.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, like, singing, and there's a giant dragon. So that's one of the unclaimed ones, right? So there's that guy. There's Cannibal. Cannibal eats other dragons.
What?
He's, like, yeah, he's a giant, like, no one goes near him, right?
What the heck?
There's Grey Ghost, I think, which is, like, the shy dragon. No one's claimed that one either. There's Sea Smoke. That's Laenor's dragon. I don't know what the fuck is, if Sea Smoke is going to come back and just get a new rider. I have no idea. There's, I'm forgetting Darren's dragon. It's, like, I don't know. Something with a T. I think Jace's dragon is Vermax, which looks like a fucking dinosaur. That's the one in the dragon pit where it's, like, when they were babies and he was like Dracarys and it, like, looked at him and it, like, ate the goat.
Oh yeah.
That's Vermax. And then I think Joffrey's is something with the T as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of dragons.
I love them all. Like, they're all insane, I guess.
Yeah.
No, dragons are cool, okay.
God, seeing them die is gonna suck.
Yeah, that's gonna be not good.
That hurts, yeah. Because if you kind of think they will live forever.
Exactly.
Especially, like, I felt that, spoilers for Game of Thrones, but I felt that way in Game of Thrones when especially because you kind of watched them grow up and then you saw them die and you were like, no.
It was your baby.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say really quick. We can wrap this up soon, but I was just gonna say, is a theory. Well, I don't think it. I think it's actually confirmed that Dreamfire, so that's Helaena's dragon, is I think the mother of Daenerys's dragons.
Ooh.
So I think she had like a clutch of eggs, and someone kidnapped them, and like you know they kept them for 200 years, and then gave them to Dany, and then they grew up.
Yeah, spoilers for the end of Game of Thrones. My dad made me watch the scene where Dany dies and her dragon's like whole reaction. Like I was more compelled by the dragon than I was with what's his name? John. Like I felt so bad for the dragon. Dragon made me feel things and I didn't even watch the show, but I was just so.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because you see them grow up, you see them having a bond with their mom, and, like, totally makes sense.
Should have lit John up.
Not that we have to talk about him for very long. I think we all love
even?
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
him so much.
Yeah.
Nothing really to say. He's never done anything wrong in his life, except for
accidentally.
Maybe eating Luke. Yeah.
Oops. That oopsie was daisies. Oopsie.
He's sorry, guys. He's sorry about it, though. Don't worry about it. He's going to cry about it. It's okay.
Okay, so then that's all right.
He said he's sorry. I believe it.
For our listeners, the reason that I agreed to watch the show was because Sam had sent a couple fan cams in our group chat, and one of these fan cams was Amond, and it was set to the best, well, one of the best Nine Inch Nails songs, Closer. And I, if you know that song, and I was like, okay, so this is my genre, this is my niche. Sam knew exactly what to do, and it worked. And I feel like Amond is a Nine Inch Nails boy. Like, I feel like that's his vibe. I'm excited for his future. I'm excited for the guilt and the mixed feelings and the torturedness. It's gonna be good. His style is really cool. Like, that whole eye patch thing, it works. Great. I'm trying to think of something to complain about, but I can't really complain about him. I don't know. How do you feel, Ash?
Like, I don't have the strong connection to him that you two have. It's funny, I, like, most of the characters in this show I just pity or I feel bad for.
Yeah.
He was bullied and him not getting a dragon for so long was just so mean. So I was like, oh, poor boy. But then he got one. It was fucking Vagon.
The coolest.
But I don't think I have really any strong opinions for or against him.
So valid. I think.
It confuses me that he looks so old, but, like, that's not a character thing. That's, like, yeah, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
That's a general issue that I have with the show.
It's interesting. I always forget he's supposed to be, like, 18, 17. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, him, yeah, it's just funny. Nothing really to complain about, Eamon. I don't get how people...
Do people not like him?
I don't know. People, I've seen so mean to him. They're like, what, I'd freak? And I'm like, what? I don't gotta make fun of him. It wasn't his fault. Damn. People really do hate that he, I don't know what, people get so caught up that he was so mean to the kids after he got his dragon. And I'm like, I thought you, but I'd be fucking mean too. If I claimed the largest dragon in the world and I came down and these kids were like, that's not your dragon. I'd be like, oh yeah, it is, bitch. I just got her. Obviously, he maybe shouldn't have called them bastards, but, like, and, you know, he did make fun of, like, Luke and Jace's dad dying. So that's kind of mean. But, I mean, after being bullied by them for how many years, we don't know if it was a recurring thing. Maybe, probably was. Everyone always forgets that he was sexually assaulted at, like, 13. That's another thing Aegon did wrong. Always forget about that. Remember Aegon dragged Eamon on his 13th birthday to a brothel.
Oh, yeah, I deleted that from my memory for some reason.
Yeah,
well,
and there's that scene.
In a while.
Yeah, there's that scene of him talking to the brothel lady, and she's like, "How you've grown," and she's like, totally eyeing him up, and he looks so—he's not looking at her; he's looking at the ground. He's just not having it. And I don't care what anyone says; it was very clearly sexual assault.
Thank you. I feel like he's gonna blame himself for not being able to control Vhagar. Mm. Like, yes, he claimed her, but she's still 10 times as old as he is, at least. And so...
Well, actually, it kind of ties in, right? Because remember in the earlier episodes, Viserys talks about how, like, he says, oh, like, the fact that we can control dragons is, like, a myth. Like, we can't. We have to, like, work side by side with them or whatever he says. And I think it's a fun little parallel to the last episode because everyone thinks they can't control dragons. And then you see when dragons go to war, they're not gonna stop.
They don't know the meaning of the word no.
See, Allison, let me just clarify to you. Obviously, Allison did wrong things. I know we slandered everyone else except for her, kind of. Obviously, Allison did wrong. However, I also think some of the writing did her bad, so I don't blame her for some of these things.
I feel like she... I think, Sam, it was you, but it might have been Tor, who said that she was basically just trapped the whole time. In one sense, but that she's trapped. It was like, yeah, I feel like that was the whole thing. Like, so much of her life has been dictated by the man around her, and she had so little choice. And when she... Like, I don't... I feel like the only times when she had, like, something to say was when it was about her kids. Which mayhaps explain why she was so protective of them. But yeah, she was just, like, even when it looked like she was in control, or if she could do something or change something, there was still so much going on behind her back, and she was deceived and used just the whole time. So, yeah, she did bad things, but also she was just, like, she was just horribly treated by, I feel like, everyone around her, so.
Yeah. I think, I get why people have issues with some of her, like, later on, right? I think some of the, like, one of the scenes that comes to mind immediately is, the scene where she's in the council room with all the guys, and this is right after Viserys is dead, so they're, like, planning to put Aegon on the throne. And she's like, wait, she's like, you guys have been planning to put Aegon on the throne this entire time? And they're like, yeah, we just didn't tell you. I hate that scene with all my heart. I think it's so... I hate that they try to make her sometimes a little bit too much of a victim. I think it would have been so in character for her just to be like, yeah, I've been planning this ever since I cut up Rhaenyra or something, where she was like, that's... Rhaenyra's never going to let that down. So I'm going to put him on the throne regardless. I think they... I get why people would be upset that she's a little bit too much of a perfect victim. And I hate that scene a lot, because I think it just makes her look stupid. That, why wouldn't she know that her dad and everyone's been planning this for years to put Aegon as king? I also hate the scene of... for the fact that she's the one who married Aegon and Helaena. People drag her ass for that all the time. People call her hypocrite. People get on her for that. And it's like, I understand that they couldn't go with the book, because in the book, Viserys was a lot more competent. And he did that. He forced them to get married. So I get that. But I think that they could have found some other way, because everyone hates her for that. And I've seen people, like, don't understand why she did it either. Why would she marry Helaena to the worst person she knows instead of good boy Jace? Let's think clearly, guys. Okay. Why would she do that? Because she's scared that Rhaenyra is going to kill her kids. And if she sold Helaena off to Jace, Helaena would just be a hostage with Rhaenyra. So what did she do? She said, marry the devil you know.
True.
And not the devil far away. So she kept her close. Not very hard to rationalize. People get very confused about that and very upset about that. So it's little things that I think they really messed up with her, and that I think just add to the fire. People are going to get on her ass for the rest of her life for not mentioning Daeron in season one. People are already saying she's a bad mom, so that's just going to be 100 times worse. But yeah, so I think the writing failed her, but I still love her a lot. And I don't think she did many things wrong. She did wrong, but not many.
And I think one of the scenes that comes to mind for me when I think about why I like her is, well, first of all, the scenes with, like, young Alicent and young Rhaenyra, like, perfect. All of them, yeah. I just, and the hand-holding and all of that is just beautiful, and I love it, and but also, like, this scene, I don't remember the context, but she shows up to, like, this feast late, I guess, in, like, her green dress. and just walks in, and there's just something so, yeah, regal about her, just, like, and that's one of the times where she did something, did she decide it herself, but it felt like it was just, it was something, she made a choice, she made a decision, and that just gave her a power that I thought was really a really good look on her. I don't know. But just, that's just a moment that really stuck to me and that I often think of when I think about Alison being one of my favorite characters.
Very true. I forgot about that. It's like one of her only choices that she makes, really, is the choice for her to be like, I'm going back, I'm the Hightower, and I'm mad at you guys, so I'm going to show that. And I'm not going to take anyone's shit anymore. And I love that.
And the scene when she faces Rhaenys' dragon is just also just the visuals are really, 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 really good.
Yeah. So powerful. And again, right? And it's funny because, again, it's like she's stepping in front of Aegon, right? And it's like, obviously, Aegon is her least favorite kid, right? All she's ever had is headaches from him. And yet she's still like, I'm willing to die for any one of my kids. And I love that. It's true. Well, this was long. I feel like we still could have gone on too. I don't even know if we really talked about everything, but I think we covered most of everything. And I hope we praised it enough. I don't want anyone to think that we completely hated the show. We obviously liked it, and the characters. It's just critiques here and there. So yeah, we don't really, usually we do like some like behind the scenes, but I was like, girl, who cares about that? We're just here for the conversation. And really quick before we end, we will go to the fic corner, which is usually where we all recommend a fic. However, I think I'm like the main one that's been reading fic. I told them not to worry about diving into it. I was like, you guys are going to be scarred. Let me go first. And I will find the good stuff and send them on their way. I'm just going to recommend a kind of a gen-ish fic, just because I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I know people ship many things. I don't want to get there. So I'm going to recommend this one. However, I will say it is currently being updated, and it has not been updated since December.
Oh, no.
I hope they come back. I really hope they come back. This one, I don't know. I don't remember. It has been a while since I read it. I don't know how nice they are to Allison in this fic, though. I will say that sometimes if they're Team Black, you will notice. Team Green, you will notice. I think it's okay, but this is called Why Are You Shaking? We Are a Dynasty by Whiteheart, and it is the best fic of Rhaenyra being a good sister. It is absolutely amazing. It already has 71,000 words and only 9 chapters, but it basically goes, what if Rhaenyra was down in the dragon pit and saw Aemon attempting to claim a dragon? So what if she saw him do that? And this is right after they bullied him. So she sees him, things go on. And so the tag, I love the tag. I'm always living in there, which is the good sister Rhaenyra tag. just because I despite how much I dislike her at times, I just wish that we had a good relationship with her and her half-siblings. And I love fics where she kind of sees that they're being mistreated and helps them. So yeah, I'll link that in the description box. So just in case, if you're new to fic or anything, check this one out. It is Daemon and Rhaenyra. Just a good time. Wish a better life. What could have been?
If you're ever wondering what if.
There is every what if under the sun. So thank you if you've come this far listening to us. This was more of like a conversation, maybe just between friends that you guys get to listen in, and I hope you guys feel that. We didn't really dive in super deep, but I think we just had a good time just talking about the show and talking about the characters. Check us out on all of our social medias, usually have in the description box. And I mean, hey, if you just came for the House of Dragon, we'll be back for season 2. But if not, if you liked our just kind of critiques or our commentary, you should definitely check out our Starry Atlantis podcast, because that's what we usually do. We talk about a little sci-fi show, and we go in-depth every episode, and we pick it apart and talk what we liked, what we didn't like, and what we would fix. Almost every week. We drop long episodes, so it's like more like once a month. But, yeah. We hope you had fun with us today. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye!
Bye!